The House is about to try to elect a speaker again. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
Jim Jordan is the most popular Republican congressman in America. He inspires our voters. He can lead our conference.
Congressman Matt Gaetz, less popular after leading the small Republican group that ousted Speaker Kevin McCarthy, who's on the House floor now, urging his colleagues to vote for Jordan. But 22 other GOP House members voted against Jordan in the prior vote. And Congressman Dan Crenshaw, who also backs Jordan, says those lawmakers will not give in to the threats and intimidation they're getting.
Nobody's been a target of crazy online backlash like me.
But Crenshaw tells Fox,
what I'm seeing against these members and their families and the things being said by right-wingers, that's different.
Hakeem Jeffries, the House Minority Leader, remains the Democrats' choice for Speaker.
We recognize that Jim Jordan is a clear and present danger.
And without a Speaker, the House cannot act on the military aid President Biden's asking to help Israel fight terror and Ukraine battle Russia.
We cannot and will not let terrorists like Hamas and tyrants like Putin win. I refuse to let that happen.
Now, as Israel's war rages against Hamas, a 14th day, troops have been told by the defense minister to get ready for an imminent ground invasion of Gaza. Fox's Mike Tobin reports near the border it'll be in three stages.
The first one will be military. Like we're seeing now, he says it's going to get more intense and it's going to take a long time. The second stage will be lower intensity, targeting pockets of resistance. And the third, the way he described it, really involves disengaging from the Gaza Strip, the point where Israel won't be responsible for water, power, and crossing.
Food and fuel is in low supply in Gaza for the Palestinians sheltered there, but the aid Egypt is readying has not been allowed in yet. Weeks after North Korea sent an American soldier who fled there back to the U.S., Travis King is facing numerous charges, including desertion and possessing child pornography. King went to North Korea in July to avoid army discipline after he was jailed in South Korea on assault charges. America's listening to Fox News.
Jesse Kelly here. Do you feel protected? My personal protection plan is owning gold. The Oxford Gold Group helps you buy gold to have on hand or convert it into your 401k. If things get weird, I have gold on hand. I like that. You can buy coins or convert part of your 401k with the Oxford Gold Group. It's easy and safe. 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Pure Talk, America's wireless company, is on a mission to alleviate $10 million in military debt by Veterans Day, but they're going to need your help. Now, Pure Talk will donate a percentage of every new order to this great cause. When you make the switch, they make it simple, fast, and easy to their super fast 5G network. Talk, text, plenty of data now, only at $20 a month. Do it right now. Dial #250. Say the keyword save now. Make the switch to Pure Talk, and you can help a military member in.
Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. Arizona counties are prohibited by law from hand counting all ballots in an election in a decision this week by three-judge panel. The ruling comes just days after the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals tossed a lawsuit challenging the use of voting machines, which was brought by 2022 Republican candidates Kerry Lake and Mark Fitchum, who lost their respective races for governor and Senate. Abe Hamadeh will have to pay over $40,000 in legal fees to Chris Mays after he unsuccessfully tried to convince the Arizona Supreme Court to overturn the results of the 2022 Attorney General election. In addition to Mays, who defeated Hamadeh, Arizona's Secretary of State Adrian Fontes, who was named as a defendant in the case, will also receive over $12,000 as a result of the Arizona Supreme Court order. The 7th annual Mayor's International Bike Ride is tomorrow, leaving from the Civic Center in Yuma at 8 a.m. If you'd like to participate, sign up tomorrow morning at 7. There's no fee to enter. And the first 400 who register will receive a T-shirt. Get more news at YumaDailyNews.com.
It's all treats, no tricks this October with the Spooktacular Cash and Rewards Play Giveaway at Paradise Casino. October 14th to 28th, play for the chance to win your share of the haunted treasures, over $37,000. Plus, sign up for our Players Rewards Club for the chance to win up to $1,000. The Spooktacular Cash and Rewards Play Giveaway at Paradise Casino. So much, so close. Paradise Casino. Must be 21 and older. Management reserves all rights. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP for problem gambling.
Once again, some triple-digit highs heading from today into the start of the weekend, and then a cooling trend will take place from Sunday and early next week on Monday. Clear to start off this Friday, and then a sunny afternoon. The high all the way up to 103 with a light breeze out of the northwest. Overnight, a clear sky with light winds and a low down to 72. The high tomorrow approaching 101. It will be another sunny day. Clear tomorrow night with a low in the upper 60s. A little bit cooler Sunday with sunshine and a high of 94. Then a sunny and breezy Monday with a high near 83 degrees. I'm meteorologist Jeff Marr at the Weather Channel.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. George Davis with Yuma Investment Group, wealth advisor. And I have a very special guest today, Kathy Douglas. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, George.
Happy Friday.
Yes, same to you.
Kathy's the executive director of the Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area. And we got Michael here. He's running the board for us. How are you doing, Michael?
I am in for Russ, who Johnny was in for, so technically I'm in for both of them.
Ah, excellent. Well, we really appreciate you being here, because if I was trying to host the show and run the board, that would be a
disaster.
Would
that be entertaining? Would that really be, or should I do the whole thing? Are you not entertained?
So I heard it's going to be 101 today.
Mercy.
Yeah, we're ready for summer to end.
Yeah, it's just
time for fall.
It is time for fall. It's just kind of teasing us. I had some friends over last night. We have poker every two weeks on Thursday, and I chose to do it outside. They were mumbling and grumbling a little bit because it was 90.
Well,
we had a great time, and you know, I'm glad that I picked outside instead of inside.
So we're getting there.
Yeah, and I'm sure that this is the time of year where, you know, the snowbirds start to show up and people head down to, the Yuma Crossing, the National Heritage Area.
Yeah.
And this is your guys' time of year coming up. And
yeah, definitely.
That's exciting.
Yeah, we're gearing up for our winter season. And we had a really great year last year, so we're really looking forward to another year. We've had a lot of visitation to the state parks and a lot of activity and use of the riverfront trails and parks that we've helped help build over the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm. So, Kathy Douglas, executive director of the Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area. That's quite a mouthful.
It is. It
do you
is.
Use an acronym, or do you?
YCNHA. Is,
hey, there we go.
Just the Yuma Crossing, or a lot of people refer to us as just the Heritage Area, which is fine. So, we've been in Yuma since we were designated by Congress as a National Heritage Area in 2000 and officially became a heritage area in 2002. So just a little bit of background about us. So we were originally formed to really interpret the history and culture of the Yuma Crossing. So there is a National Historic Landmark right in Yuma, which some people may or may not know, but it is called the Yuma Crossing National Historic Landmark. And it's a general area along the riverfront that runs basically between the Yuma Territorial Prison and the Colorado River State Historic Park. And so it was important in history, as you know, a lot of Yumans know, that this was one of the only places that you could cross the Colorado River. So this area really was a key factor in contributing to the whole westward expansion movement.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, back in the late 1900s, the landmark became kind of a distressed and threatened status. So the National Heritage Area was formed really to bring it back to life. I don't know how long you guys have lived in Yuma, but I'm sure if you were here 20 years ago, the riverfront looks a lot different than it does today.
Yes.
So it was overgrown with,
I've been here since 1995, so.
Yeah, yeah. So it was not a very pleasant place to be down at the riverfront. So that's really what we focused on for the first 15 years, was cleaning up the riverfront, creating wetland parks, so Gateway Park, West Wetlands, the Yuma East Wetlands. We also contributed as kind of a redevelopment division in a way of the city of Yuma in helping to develop the Hilton Garden Inn and Pivot Point Conference Center, mm-hmm. the new federal courthouse. And when the crash occurred in 2008 and the state, Arizona State Parks was going to close the two state parks, which, you know, that was something that the Yuma community did not want.
Yes. And what were the two state parks?
So the Yuma Territorial Prison.
Okay.
And at the time, it was the Quartermaster Depot State Historic Park.
I remember that.
Since been, the name has changed. It's now referred to as the Colorado River State Historic Park.
Okay.
So so what the city and the heritage area teamed up, and the state went into an agreement with the city for local management of the state parks. And then the city, in turn, had an has an operating agreement with the heritage area where we actually maintain and operate the state parks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it keeps us busy.
I can't even imagine Yuma without those parks. I can't even.
I love to hear that. I mean, we obviously think that they're super important to the community. They're tourist attractions. They're iconic, you know, mm-hmm. historic landmarks along the riverfront. And, you know, we're really proud to continue to manage those and manage them on a local level, which of course, we love.
Yeah. And I was, when I knew you were on the show with me today, and our number here is 344-5258, 344-KBLU. So if you have any questions for Kathy or me, George, then you can give us a call. And here's your opportunity to give some input or ask some questions about the Yuma Crossing Heritage area and what's going on down there as far as, you know, what you'd like to see. So you got someone that knows an expert, if you will, on the area. So, you know, I think I watched the video. I looked at your website, and I was a couple things. I think it's awesome. I didn't know you had that many employees. How many did you say you have? Like 20?
Yeah, we have between 26 and 28 employees.
Which is excellent. And some of them are contracted, I think, but you have some.
Well, we have quite a few full-time employees, but we have several part-time employees.
Yeah. But if you think about it, how vast that is and everything to take care of in running the area. So
right. Besides managing the state parks, we also maintain and operate the 380-acre Yuma East Wetlands Conservation Area.
Okay.
So we do that with a crew. We have a manager and then a crew of five guys. So, you know, they're out there irrigating and mm-hmm. trimming and grooming trails and just maintaining that site mainly for wildlife. It was created for wildlife, but it's also a great recreational area for the community too.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. And like Michael was saying, you know, I can't imagine Yuma without it being there.
Right. So. Yeah. It's much, like I said, most conservation areas are usually not so close to a downtown area, not as easily accessible as the Yuma East Wetlands is. Mm. So it is highly used by the community for walking and hiking and bird.
I was just going to say the bird watching has to be incredible.
Bird watching,
yeah.
Swimming.
Yeah. I mean,
everyone's
out on the river, enjoying the river.
Right.
You know, but besides that, I mean, we still work very closely with the city, and West Wetlands is included as in the heritage area boundaries, and we did help develop the West Wetlands, and we're continuing to help. So most recently, we got a $250,000 grant from the Arizona Office of Tourism to develop the center part of the park. So everyone knows the Stuart Vincent Wolf Playground, or what the community calls it, Castle Park.
Yes.
But on the other side of the road, there's just, it has been mainly the park maintenance yard. So we're working with Parks and Recreation to add about 65 parking spaces and some connecting trails. We're going to landscape that area.
And that's to the west?
To the west of
the playground?
Yeah, yeah.
The area that's just opened up there, that's what you're talking about? Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the maintenance yard will stay there, but we're going to put some rolling linear landscape in to try to try to disguise that a little bit, and then add a few shade ramadas in that area. So just it was one area of the park that, you know, you're driving through this beautiful park, and then it's like this big empty dirt area.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. That's neat. Well, yeah, that's great. So that'll be one that'll be coming up. When does that start?
Well, we're starting to work on it now, so we're going to see a lot of progress over there in the next year.
Yeah. Okay. Well, something definitely to look forward to. Well, we're up against our first break already. Time flies, like I told you. Money Talk, AM 560, KVLU.
Investment Group Wealth Management, they believe they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com and find out why investors switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
All right, Michael, I love that music. We've been playing a little rock and roll, maybe coming on some entries here, huh?
Of course.
Happy Friday out there, Yuma. Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU. We're getting well into October.
Almost to Halloween.
Yes, we are almost to Halloween. My wife loves the holidays. They're her favorite time of year, and so she bought some new... We moved in our new house in April, and... it's very beautiful. I thank God every time I walk in. But she's bought some new pumpkins and a couple of them, like those kind of metal pumpkins, and you put the candle inside. We've never really done that. And it's pretty cool looking. She's got it really looking very Halloween and replacing these pumpkins different areas. And one of those little Grogu guys that blows up. My son's he wanted Grogu, so I put him in there, which is the... You know, Star Wars Yoda guy, the little baby Yoda they call him. Yeah, so it's pretty cute. So we're in the spirit. My neighbors, I'm a little disappointed. I'm hoping people will step up here and do.
You throwing down a challenge?
Yes, I'm throwing down a challenge in the dunes. Let's get some more decorations out there.
There you go.
Like, you know, we all like kids trick-or-treating. That's a fun time of year for us.
Oh, the best. Yeah. I love when they come up with the costumes. That's like awesome.
Yeah, you just kind of hang out and pass out candy and see what they're dressed as and.
I know, I kind of miss that. My kids are grown up, but we used to get them in some pretty cool costumes growing up. And the funny thing is, well, I moved here from Michigan, and the first year we came here, we're like, oh, let's carve some pumpkins.
Ah.
Well, in Yuma, the pumpkins don't last outside.
No, they don't.
They were literally caved in like the next day. It was just too hot, so we were cracking up. So from then on, I think we just decorated them or, you know, had to keep them inside. Little lesson learned.
Or you get metal pumpkins.
Or metal.
There you go.
There
see?
You go. Yeah.
The metal pumpkins.
Metal pumpkins and paint them.
Right.
I bought a pumpkin. We were going to do a carving, and my wife like, it's a really pretty one. It's just, you know, when you pick out that symmetrical pumpkin, it's like, wow, that's a really cool looking one. So she just sets it out with her other pumpkins, and it's still hanging in there after a couple of weeks, maybe because we didn't carve it.
Right.
And she still has it sitting out there. She'll bring it in during the day, which is smart. She'll put it out at night with all the other
when
ones.
When it's nice and cool.
Yeah.
I should say cooler.
Cooler, yeah. The AC, I think that's helped the preservation. So. So I am joined today by Kathy Douglas, Executive Director, Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area. And our number here is 344-5258, 344-KBLU Money Talk. If you have any questions for us, give us a call. But you know, the thing that's interesting, Kathy, I was watching your video, and I know I said it again, because I think whoever did the video did a really nice job with it.
Well, and, can I just tell you who did that?
Of course you
okay,
can.
Okay, so Fred Phillips of Fred Phillips Consulting, he filmed that video. So Fred has been contracted by the Heritage Area for many years, and he was the landscape designer for the Yuma East Wetlands.
Oh.
And also had his own crew, and he maintained it, helped maintain it once it was built. And he's also done a lot of landscape planning for the West Wetlands as well.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah. Okay. So he loves Yuma. He's not here anymore. He's now lives up in Colorado, but we actually, you know, we're working with him again. He's going to do some of the landscape design work at the West Wetlands for the project I was just telling you about.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Does he use a drone? How do you get pictures up there like that?
No comment on how he did it.
Yeah. It must be because he's flying up there. And, yeah. You know, I'm from Idaho. I moved here in 95. Yeah. And I still have friends at Yuma. When I tell them that 95% of the nation's lettuce during the winter comes from Yuma, they're just flabbergasted and blown away. And there's a river, you know, here, and they just think it's just this desert and dry, desolate, like we're out in the middle of Glamis type of thing. But you know, that's you from what his pictures were. You can see how vast. You know, it looks like forest. It looks just green,
yeah.
And the river there is beautiful. And he did a great job. Now, I've spent some time down there, but unless you see it from above and really see what happened with the before and after pictures, I thought it was very impressive.
Right. Yeah, and if anybody else wants to view that video, it's posted on our website. The web address is yumaheritage.com. So just go to the site, and it's right on our homepage, and it's called Beautiful Yuma. And what it does is it showcases the Yuma's riverfront from East Wetlands through Gateway Park and in the two state parks, Yuma Territorial Prison, Colorado River Park, and down to West Wetlands. So it is really beautiful. And what we've done is we've developed some of the trails. The city has developed some of the trails. But there's a continuous trail that runs along the riverfront for 3.5 miles, all the way from West Wetlands to East Wetlands.
We have a caller? Oh, it looks like we got a caller today. Good morning.
Good morning. Hello? There we go. You are now on.
Can you hear us?
I guess my phone skills are not that developed yet. Or I scared them away. I am not sure. It's one of the two.
That's all right, Michael. They'll call back. Give us a call back. We didn't answer it in time. Sorry.
Yep, exactly. Thank you.
All right. They're calling back. Try it again.
Let's try this again. Hello? Hello, hello. Hold on one moment, okay? I think that should do it. You are on right now. Hold on one moment, sir. There you go.
All right. We got to figure it out. Good morning.
Oh, all right. Good morning again. Is this the show?
Yes, this is the show. Money
okay.
Talk. We're talking about the Yuma Crossing Heritage Area today.
Yes, sir. I know. I've been listening.
Excellent.
And it sounded like you guys were reaching for a topic, so I decided to call.
Oh, right. Okay.
But anyway, So does she have anything? I don't know your name. I forgot it.
It's Kathy Douglas.
Kathy, okay. Do you have anything to do with Gateway Park?
Well, we assisted the city in developing that park, and the city maintains the park at this point.
Okay.
Was there something so in particular?
Well, I was just curious about the homeless situation, how security and you know, people bathing in the river down there and that type of deal.
Yeah. Well, from
because that's one. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
That was one of the main reasons why I quit going down to Gateway is seeing people, you know, going to the restroom, bathing, everything in the river there, and I just didn't want to go swimming in, you know, what was there, but anyway, that's just me.
No, that's a good question. That's fine. That's a fair question. So appreciate your call. We'll answer that off the air, or we'll answer that for you here. But thank you listening. Go ahead.
And also, since the snowbirds are coming back or are back, we need to practice love and compassion for them and for each other, for that matter, because you know, there's no, your schedule isn't that tight to where you have to be upset with one another because they drive 5 or 10 miles under the speed limit. So anyway, that's my 2 cents. You guys have a good day and a good weekend.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you much for the call.
You bet. Bye now.
Yeah, that's good advice on being patient.
Right.
You know, loving thy neighbor. Because I know down, you know, everyone, a lot of people, a lot of the snowbirds coming in, and you know, they bring a lot to our economy, and be patient. But also down at the, you know, in the parks and the areas where people are enjoying themselves, and, you know, take your time and, you know, there's a lot more people than usual, and so.
Right. Yeah, there are a lot of people that utilize the park, and I do know that, you know, the park is monitored quite regularly by the city of Yuma, their parks and recreation staff, and trying, you know, keep it clean and safe, and monitored by the Yuma Police Department as well. But I mean, it's more of a, you know, the whole homeless situation, it's a sad situation, and it's something that I know the community is trying to work together and doing what we can do to help these people. And there's actually there's a whole coalition that's been formed, the Yuma Coalition for Homelessness. So it's really a kind of a grassroots effort where a lot of the nonprofits and municipalities and organizations are getting together and trying to do and come up with solutions of what we can do to, you know, to help these people get the help that they need and keep the community safe for everybody.
Got another caller coming up? All right.
Hello? There we go. You are on.
Good morning.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
On the last caller.
Yes, got you on. Money Talk, AM560. Morning.
Morning. Can I piggyback on the last caller, please?
Of course.
Okay. You know something with the snowbirds coming down and whatnot? You know something? God bless them. They're really nice people. They're really nice people. But they do have problems with their driving because they're so old. So we do have to kind of watch out for them. That and I'd like to ask your guest, like what the other guy was saying, is there any kind of plan for the homeless down here, or do they just take it upon themselves to use the river as their own personal shower and whatnot? And that's not good for the children to witness this. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, sure. Okay. Well, thanks for the call. She was just talking about that with the coalition. So we'll continue here. We're going to be right up against our next break. So thank you for the call and Money Talk, AM560 KBLU.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they believe they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com and find out why investors switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Welcome back. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. A couple phone calls about a homeless and trying to take care of that situation. That's a very delicate situation. You know, I know I'm in Rotary, and our big push this year is mental health, homeless, taking care of people, because, you know, we want to do our best and try to take care of that situation. Sometimes your hands are tied. Certain rules, certain laws you got to be able to, you know, abide by. But it's a very delicate situation, and I don't know what the, you know, if anyone really knows the exact answer, but it sounds like we're, you know, making moves forward, and we understand the situation. First part of the problem is understanding what's going on, and then try to, you know, work to alleviate that. So, but we appreciate the calls. The one thing I wanted to talk a little bit about, Kathy, is I know you got this $250,000 grant. This is from the state of Arizona, is it? And then the Heritage, is that, you mentioned the National Historic Landmark. And pardon my, you know, not knowing a lot about this. That's why I asked, but it's fascinating. So being labeled a National Historic Landmark, I would assume that for the crossing in the Heritage area, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Because that opens the doors for different types of funding and grants. And then you've got this grant from the state. Is that correct? Is the $250,000 of the project you're talking about, is that come from the state, local, national? How do those work?
That particular grant is a state grant. But just, I'm going to circle back a little bit and talk about the Heritage Area Program. So at this point, there's 62 National Heritage Areas in the United States.
Oh.
And we may have been the first heritage area who was designated west of the Mississippi. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of heritage areas out
east. How does heritage differ from other?
So we're our own program, but we are it's administered through the National Park Service.
Okay.
So
nationally there's 62. Is that what you said?
Right. There's 62 National Heritage Areas.
Okay.
Yes. So we're administered, or we're a program basically of the National Park Service. And so each heritage area is designated federal funding every year, which goes back into our local communities. And the recent, so the Heritage Area Program was just redesignated as a whole for 15 years, which was great because it's a long, drawn-out story, but when every heritage area was designated, you're designated for a certain number of years, and then you have to be reauthorized.
Oh, all right.
And in the
not
past,
just for so many years,
right,
done. Okay.
Right. And so in the past, each heritage area was reauthorized individually. And it just, you know, that's, as the Heritage Area Program has grown, it was really landmark congressional legislation that was passed last December.
Okay.
That extended the whole program for 15 years. What else happened last year was the passing of the 2% hospitality tax, which is also passed for another 15 years here locally. And that is how the Heritage area receives their local funding. So if anyone knows anything about grants, federal grants, there's usually a match required that has to be a non-federal match. So the city, we are provided that funding from the city to help meet our federal funding match that we get from National Park Service. But we're a 501c3 nonprofit corporation, and we apply for a lot of different grants. So the Arizona Office of Tourism was one such grant that we received for the West Wetlands. But we receive annual grant money from Bureau of Reclamation to help with maintenance of the Yuma East Wetlands. The Department of Forestry and Fire Management has issued us many grants. We just were awarded another $93,000 invasive plant grant from them to help with invasive species vegetation management at the East Wetlands. Mm-hmm. So we're very grant-funded organization.
Yes. And it sounds like both the state and federal are at your fingertips as far as the grants.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we don't get them automatically. We've got to apply for them.
Yeah, I have a lot of respect for grant writers because I know, we do our matching grants with the Rotary Foundation, and I'm on the board with the Arizona Community Foundation of Yuma.
Oh, and yes, we've gotten grants from
them.
I've seen
your grants,
we're hoping we get another one. We applied this year, so we'll find out soon.
But those grant writings, that's a special talent, I think. I mean, you really want to.
Oh, well thanks.
You know, you have
a
lot of people putting in for grants. You want to have yourself, set yourself apart somehow. And it is in the grant writing and the way people write, but it's also obviously the impact of.
Well, it's the impact on the community.
The impact of the grant, the money on the community. Mm-hmm. And can you see it, feel it, those types of things.
So. Right. Yeah, so one grant that we're really proud that we've received actually for the last 3 years is from the National Park Foundation, and it was to develop a field trip program for fourth graders. So through this grant money, and again, this is the third year that we were awarded it, we developed a field trip program for free. So it's free for the teachers, for the students. We cover the transportation costs, the entry fee to the park, and all the supplies and everything. So it's been really well received by the community. I think we've served well over 3,000 kids that have come out to the Yuma Territorial Prison, the Colorado River State Historic Park, and then we also take them out to the East Wetlands for a tour. So we get them outside. They learn about history. Nature. Yeah. We're trying to create our future stewards of our environment. So it's been a really, really great program. But we can't always count on that funding to come through every year. So I don't know if we have time, but this kind of segues me into our ask for our Giving Tuesday fundraising campaign this year is to ask the community to please help support in this program so that we can continue to provide these fantastic field trips to our fourth graders. So that'll be kicking off on Giving Tuesday. It's in December. I'm sorry, but I can't remember the date. But we'll be running that fundraising ask through the month of December.
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about that. Giving Tuesday fundraising, is that going to be like every Tuesday in December type of thing? Is it one day? What are you doing? What is that?
Giving Tuesday is like a national day of giving. So it's a specific day. And then, but we're just extending it for the full month of December. And in the past, we focused on, historic preservation or the environmental restoration needs that we've had. But this year we thought, well, let's focus on this fourth grade field trip program that's really, we've gained national attention. We've presented
wonderful.
We have a wonderful graphic designer on our staff. His name is Brett Frame, and then we have a wonderful group of part-time employees who a lot of them are former teachers. They've developed the curriculum and really the whole program, and they put on the field trips for these kids. And what we've done this year is we've created it's not quite ready yet, but we're creating an online curriculum that can be used by anybody throughout the state. So we'll post it. It'll be free. It's we've created this series of videos and created these mascot characters. So we have Bucky, the park ranger. He's a beaver. Okay. And Yasmin, the yellow-billed cuckoo. She's going to be our new mascot for the Yuma East Wetlands. So there's a really great series of videos that the kids watch before they come out to the field trip.
Oh,
so
to spark interest. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're little short videos, but they're educational and they're fun. And even for adults, like I sat there one night and just my husband called me. He goes, "Are you coming home tonight?" And I'm like, "No, I'm watching these videos. They're so cute." So, yeah, we're really proud of this program and really hope the community will help us continue or support it so we can continue to offer it to our school children. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. What's the main funding for the Giving Tuesday, the fourth grade program? Or the third grade, I'm sorry.
The National Park Foundation grant is specific to fourth graders.
Okay.
It's called Outdoors for Kids. It's a specific grant. But we, you know, this program that we have, I mean, we're also bringing in all kinds of school kids, you know, third graders, fifth graders.
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, and we offer a really low cost. If the school just wants to bring a class to either of the state parks, we have special programming prices for the kids. So even if they don't come for this particular program and they just want to bring the kids out for a field day, they can contact either park and we'll set that up for them.
Now, how do you reach every fourth grade in Yuma County, or how does
every
it work
fourth,
as far as what schools are coming? And I mean, San Luis, Summerton.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We've had kids here from Dateland.
Dateland?
Yeah.
That's great.
The Yuma, all the Yuma community school districts, Summerton, San Luis, and so we were pretty shocked that they came all the way from Dateland. But this particular program is offered to every Yuma County school. Even we offer it as well as private schools or homeschool groups. They just got to contact us.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like the teachers will bring them and it's free?
It's free. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Even the busing and everything?
Yes. We reimburse the school for the busing cost.
Okay.
Yes.
So how do you make the teachers aware of that? Are there some?
Yeah, we've been out. Our staff went out to Yuma School District 1, had a, you know, before school, they had a whole teacher program. So we had a booth out there and we presented. And just, I believe it was just this week, our staff that implements the program went out to Yuma School District 1 and presented the program to the teachers. Mm. So we email, we call, and that's really our focus this year is making sure everybody knows about it and is taking advantage of the program.
Yeah.
And getting signed up. Because don't wait till the last minute, because the dates are filling up. So if you're interested, please give us a call sooner rather than later.
And how do they contact you?
They can contact us at 928-373-5198. And that's our direct number to our organization. And then we'll get you to Anna Regal is our employee who heads up that program.
Anna does. Okay. Mm-hmm. But for on Google, you just search the Yuma Crossing National Heritage, and can you sign up that way, like online? Or you have to pretty much call and do it?
I think you need to call.
Okay,
you need
otherwise
to call.
It might be a free-for-all.
Yeah, but again, our web address, again, is yumaheritage.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So back to this Giving Tuesday fundraiser. on December. So is there, do events? I'm trying to figure out what the Tuesday thing part is. Is it just?
That's just the national, I think, you know, the end of the year. It's just I don't know who organized it. Maybe it was a nonprofit council.
Are you guys having any events? Or is it more just, hey, this is the month? And
yeah, we're not doing a specific event.
Okay.
We have a database of contacts, and so we'll send out an email blast, and it'll be out in our newsletters, and so we communicate with people that way. And today, I'm letting people know today as well that we're a 501c3, so you know. We're always open to donations to help support the causes that we support for the community.
Okay. Any more events coming up or something here?
We're getting into our busy season. Like you said, the winter visitors are coming back. But actually tomorrow, so Saturday, October 21st, at the Yuma Territorial Prison, the Heritage Area is partnering with the Chicano Art Collective to host a Dia de los Muertos, Day of the Dead, celebration event. It starts at 5 p.m., runs till 10 p.m.
Ooh, when it gets dark.
Yeah, so it's at the iconic, you know, Yuma Territorial Prison.
Uh-huh.
And there's going to be, you know, tributes to our loved ones. So there will be altars, and they're also going to have local artists there displaying their artwork. We're going to have a lot of food.
That's tomorrow?
It's tomorrow night. Oh. Mm-hmm. So food vendors, retail vendors, face painting. But what's really great is they're bringing in the Gadsden Marching Band is going to perform, as well as the Gadsden Mariachi and the Folklorico dancers. So we do have some entertainment as well. So it'll be a really fun night. We had a really great turnout last year, so I'm hoping that people will come back out again. And you can buy tickets ahead of time. They're being sold on, I'm forgetting the name of the site. But anyway, you can contact our office, or you can. It's a $10 adult entry fee. You can pay at the door.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So it's at the
Yuma Territorial Prison, State
that area
Park.
There? Okay.
Yes.
There used to be, for Halloween, walking through area.
Yeah.
It was kind of scary. And is this taking that place of that, or still do something?
We haven't done that in a while. That had been hosted by the Yuma Police Department.
That's right.
And it just got too big. So they've moved that. It's over at the fairgrounds, to the best of my knowledge.
I
think they're still holding it over at the fairgrounds.
I think it is over at the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Went over there. So, yeah.
But we did just, the Yuma Territorial Prison was just nominated the second best haunted destination in the U.S. by USA Today.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. You beat me to my question.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's pretty awesome. And actually, in 2019, we were number one.
Oh.
Yeah. And then the next year we were number two.
Who bumped you off?
So who bumped us off this year was Zach Bagans'
House of
something or other in
Las Vegas. Or Lost Wages, as I like to call it.
Yeah. Yeah. But there are some pretty scary locations that people could vote on.
Yeah.
But pretty awesome that we came in number two.
Oh, that is pretty awesome.
So, we've got all kinds of paranormal groups that have reached out to us. They like to come
out
and video.
I've seen some of those shows, but I only watch those during the day because I'm a big chicken. I fully admit that. When they talk about something following you home from the prison, I'm like, I'll watch that during the day.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about that at night because then I can't put my feet out from under my bed. So.
Right. Yeah. So our park manager, Yana Cruz, she manages the Yuma Territorial Prison, and so she's looking at creating some ghost tours and some adventures that we're going to be offering to the public. So that'll, we'll be announcing those opportunities soon.
Yeah, how cool is that?
All right.
We're up against our last break here. We'll be right back. Monday Talk, AM 560 KBLU.
Opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Great show today. And my guest is Kathy Douglas. She's the executive director of the Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area. I probably sound stuffed up today. I got a little sinus thing going on that I've been fighting for.
Oh, it's that time of year.
Yep. Yeah, but mine's, I've always had trouble with my sinuses. It's been a couple months, so I'm going to be getting it checked out. So anyway. Sound congested, that's why. All right. So one thing I did want to ask you, and I know you have a couple more events coming up in December and then next April, it sounds like, for the Heritage Area. But I did want to ask you, I give a shameless plug to my Rotary, my Sunrise Rotary Club. We meet at the IHOP. It's kind of a smaller club, but the Rotaries in town do a great job, 501c3 like you, and do a great job with the community. So how do you, I'm interested in some service projects for my club.
Okay.
And teaming up with, like, the National Heritage Area and, Yuma Crossing. Do you have groups come in, and how do you coordinate with other groups? Like, come in and help?
We do.
Clean up, or is there areas to help clean up or do some work? Because, with your hands instead of just money, which is nice too, but doing volunteer work. How does that work?
Yes, we love to have volunteers come in and help. So we've done many events with individual volunteers or corporate volunteer groups who want to come in. School groups have come in. So we can do tree planting, general trail cleanup, trash cleanup along the riverfront. We've done even painting projects, things like, maintenance projects at the parks.
Okay.
So
you have plenty of things for us to do. So okay.
Yeah. I mean, well, let us know. I mean, we don't always have trees to plant, but I mean, I know AEA Credit Union, they just came out and planted 60 trees with us along the riverfront.
All right.
So we just did that a few weeks ago. So, yeah, but a lot of we've done some huge volunteer events with Gowan Company when they brought all of their employees in worldwide, and so we worked with the city last year and we had 900 volunteers
on
various projects along the riverfront. So yeah, we love community support, so just let us know when you're available and what you might want to do, or what we'll let you know what we have available. So
yeah, you let me know what's available and what you have some things coming up. I'll be happy to
And a lot of the grants that we have, we work volunteerism into the grant, and it supports it as match, in-kind match for the grant.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got little bit of time left. You got a couple more events coming up. So tell us about that.
We do have a few events coming up. So we have been hosting a children's, it's called Christmas on the Colorado. So it's a Christmas event that we hold at the Colorado River State Historic Park. That is coming up on December 10th. I believe that's the right date. That's a Sunday. It's the day after the big Christmas parade downtown.
Okay.
So if you're interested in that, please reach out. We'll be starting to promote that event pretty soon. Another event that we're going to be hosting in April, and I'm sorry, I don't have the exact date in front of me right now, but it's the Haru Matsuri event. It's an Asian and Pacific Islander cultural event. We held it for the first time last year, and it had a really, really great attendance and response.
I went to that. It was wonderful.
Did you? Oh,
yes.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming out. So, yeah, we invited a lot of the local dojos to bring their kids out.
Right.
They did their demonstrations, karate, jujitsu, or whatever it happened to be. And then, but we also brought some really cool acts out. We brought out a professional group of taiko drummers.
That was really neat.
They put on a really cool, really cool presentation, and we had Hawaiian fire dancers.
Yep. Oh, wow.
And yeah, so it's cultural. So you learn about the history and the culture, and we had some food vendors out there and sold
some
beer.
Yes, you had some good yummy Hawaiian food, which was rocking.
Yeah, we did. So we're hoping to expand that and make it bigger and better for this year.
So this will be number two?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Maybe get some traditional hula dancers out there this time.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I know they're working on. They've already got several acts who are scheduled to
just
come
suggesting.
In. Yeah.
Not telling.
Yeah. Great.
That must be a pretty big. Is that one of your larger events for the year?
That's one of our larger events. Yeah. So tomorrow's event will be a good size event for the Dia de los Muertos.
Yes. Okay.
That sounds just amazing, just to go see that on near Hallows Eve. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just that whole chill in the environment sort of situation.
Yeah, it's a really nice family oriented event, but we'll have some great entertainment this year, and just a way that people come out there and honor your loved ones.
Exactly.
And just have a really beautiful evening. It'll be beautiful out, beautiful night. Yeah.
Now, Day of the Dead, is that 2 days before October 29th, or it's like November 2nd? I can't. It's real close in there.
Now that one, George, you caught me on.
Yeah, okay. I don't know the exact date this year, but. For our, we'll be celebrating tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah, of course. It's a Saturday. Yes, in the weekend.
Well, then everybody can come out.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's outstanding. Yeah. That's very exciting.
Yeah.
I've got, I really appreciate Kathy coming on today. Kathy Douglas, Executive Director, Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area. I learned a lot, but what I find fascinating is the history of Yuma. You talked about the crossing and how I love Westerns and, history and horses and the gunfighting, whatever. It's all kind of neat.
Yes.
But they had the, back then with the crossing, and it's just that one area that was so popular for, because a lot of other places, I guess, would just be too perilous.
It was too perilous to cross.
I mean, just imagine the ways that they would cross, whether a wagon or a ferry or a boat or walking or swimming.
And that's what they say, all trails lead to Yuma.
That's
so when
right.
you look at all the famous trails, the, Juan Bautista de Anza and the Butterfield Trail, they all come and they converge in Yuma, cross over the river.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
See, I'm going to be naughty here, guys. I'm going to say,
job, so.
We built San Diego. That's what I'm saying. Without us, there'd be no San Diego. Thank you.
Yeah. The first train crossed in, actually from California, but the first train to enter Arizona came right through the crossing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you guys do a lot of, not just the beauty and making Yuma such a nicer place and activities, but the economic impact, too.
Yeah,
when people come to Yuma and they see what we're doing with the heritage area and the crossing and everywhere else in Yuma to make it a pleasant place, attractive place to move into. So you can tell it makes a big difference. So
yes,
we're right here at the end of the show. Kathy Douglas, thank you so much for being here today and tonight and on tomorrow.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.
Thank you.